The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our Amazon page. Please remember to shop Amazon, and when you do, go to MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon link on our website. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program. Now, on with the show.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
That music can only mean one thing, ladies and gentlemen. It is time to take a trip into the world of Mr. Rob Spiewak, a man who has quite a presence on social media and loves his Facebook. You know, whenever I try to bring something up on Facebook that Rob Spiewak has posted, if I don't get it that very day, I will have to wade through 500,000 little messages from people showing bottles of liquor and brownies and pictures of Elvis Presley and Paul McCartney and Rob's world. But Rob came in today. We were having a little discussion before the show, and he informed me that he had himself a little situation on
Facebook
this morning.
It was embarrassing. I'll say it's embarrassing. You know, I always have the Today Show on, usually in the background while I'm prepping the show, because I like to stay plugged into what's going on. And Chuck Bell, who is the morning meteorologist.
You know, when we left the Washington, D.C. area, there were a lot of things that I was excited about moving down here to West South Florida. But one of the things I truly regretted was that I would not be able to see that skinny do the weather.
Hey, now be very careful. Don't make this worse.
I'm so sorry. No, Chuck Bell. Boy, sure miss him.
Came into the studio.
Yes, a nice guy. Yes. Very nice man. Good friends with Angie Goss.
I kid. I kid because I love. And hey, by the way, can I say this?
Yes.
I love Angie doing the weekend news and keeping that little feed open.
Yes, the live. She's broadcasting live.
She says
live.
Hi to me. She says hi to me. And she keeps it at... let me see. I want to say this. I don't want to get in trouble
level.
With her.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Okay, you said it. I didn't
SBL?
Say it. But.
Yes, SBL.
All right.
But I popped it in, and then she gave a little plug for the show online, and I thought it was super cool. And then I went to the well again and went, I'm here with my daughters, Angie. And she didn't say anything after that. So
thank you both.
I got happy is what I did. I got happy.
Thank you to both my partners for insuring. We'll never get another guest from NBC again.
Hey, I didn't do anything wrong.
You said
SBL. We never got guests from NBC anyway. We really didn't. I mean, hard to do that, right?
Yeah.
Vance never came on the show.
Vance never even replied.
Wendy Rieger never came on the show. The only guy that ever used to come on the show way back when was George.
Yes.
George was always accessible. The late, great George
Chuck
Michael.
Chuck Todd.
That's true, buddy. We're talking WRC.
That's network. That we're talking about the local Channel 4 affiliate. That's
anyway,
what we're talking about.
So what's happening here is D.C. is not in an uproar, but as the temperatures get slightly warmer this afternoon, there's going to be a mixture of precipitation and possibly a few snowflakes. And so on the
I saw the swath of sweepable and conversational.
And so I wrote on my Facebook page, because I'm tired of it, I wrote, what the hell is conversational snow?
Exactly. And I agree with you. And now that's a cause that I can jump on board with 100%. That's crap.
And a lot of people jumped on because they thought, you know, it is silly. And then Chuck Bell himself, Facebook friend of mine, comments in a very, what I interpreted as a very terse tone.
There you go.
He said, conversational snow are accumulations less than a quarter of an inch. And then,
So he's measured it.
Yes.
So he's measured his concoction.
And then, someone goes on and on to say more and more that we'll stop creating words and this is silly. And then he replies in a way that I interpret even terser tones.
Oh, this is good.
Chuck Bell writes, Bob Ryan used the phrase long before I ever made it to
your
city.
Of course it was Bob Ryan, that old nab. Of course he did that. Of course, Bob Ryan coined the term. He's the same one that had the almanac, right?
That's
Bob Ryan's almanac.
That's right.
And the Golden Shovel Award. Jesus Christ, there's a guy that made his hay. Like, it wasn't bad enough that this, you know, that this town absolutely goes bat-ass about snow. He's got to create more gimmicky jargon. And, of course, that's what we do in DJ Land.
And anyway, what Bob Ryan would do is, like, 3 days and five, he would travel to local schools and speak to young students to get them really, really worked up, even at the ground level.
Yeah.
So right. By the time they're grown-ups, they hate the whole thing. So I was really sort of caught between a rock and a hard place because a guy that I did a pretty pointed dig at replied.
He responded. He stood up for himself.
So all I said was, thanks, Chuck.
You pussy.
You know, lest Guilty. We forget the power of a really of diminishing weather events. And I think I might have, down here over the weekend, Saturday night, we had a tornado touchdown in Cape Coral, Florida, and it was an F2. And I thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Well, I applaud you for cheating death again.
Well, no, I'm far away from it relative to being down here. I'm an hour, 45 minutes to an hour. No, we didn't even know. We were coming back. I was coming back with the Pigeon Sisters from dinner, and I didn't know until I walked into my house where the babysitter said we had an F2 tornado touchdown. Now, we drove through horrendous weather, but it was rain and lightning, lots of lightning, and I didn't notice anything. Well, down in Cape Coral, Florida, the nicest part of Southwest Florida.
Sure. If you had to rank them, I know it's like choosing a favorite child, Mike. It's a real Sophie's choice, but if you had to choose one.
Well, if I, if I was going to give a voice for Cape Coral, Florida, I would have to reprise the impression of a lovely Playboy centerfold who once said on stage,
like my body.
We have Cape Coral on the phone.
Let's just say if I really, you know, with that horrible smoking habit that I've dabbled in again, and I plan to get myself out of that almost as soon as it began.
Right.
But if I really
if
I really wanted the cheap smokes, I'd go to Cape Coral.
Is it the kind of place that they advertise cheap smokes on a billboard? I always enjoy that. It's a cheapest cigarettes dead ahead.
It's the land of nail salons and vape stores. Ooh. Just like Manassas. It's the most Manassas-y of Southwest Florida. That's
only the best.
Like. So they had an F2 touchdown, and I'll be honest with you, I may have been, because of my time in Washington, D.C., a little cynical about weather in general. I think in weather, even on a national scale, they tend to fear-monger more than anybody else.
It's all about ratings, Mike. That's what they want to make you watch.
Yeah. Temperatures, dangerous. Wind, dangerous. So I kind of...
Check on your elderly relatives.
I kind of poo-pooed the idea of this tornado.
How dare you.
Until watching the news yesterday evening, I think it was the 5 o'clock, and they, God love those drones, they had a lot of these little drone shots.
Ah.
And the drone, and then an interview with a guy. This is an F2, so as far as they go, this is not that big and bad a tornado.
No, not conversational.
They had a shot of this guy's conversation.
Mike, it was a sweepable.
All tornadoes are conversational.
This was a sweepable tornado.
All of them. Conversational tornado. So this guy says he was talking. They showed the damage to his house, and it was significant. Had the roof blown off and everything. It was really mad. But this is what got me. This dude has Cape Coral is a series of canals. It seems like everybody's on a canal down there. Everybody's kind of got water. It's a big paradise
for
boaters down here.
Canals or ditches?
They're canals. They're actually canals.
Just checking.
And a lot of them connect to the Gulf of Mexico. It's a big fishing, boating area down there. So a lot of people have water crafts, you see.
I understand.
You see?
And so this guy... I'm saying, okay, the roof, damage, that's it. And then he says, well, what happened out front? He said, well, out front is where my car used to be. This F2 tornado took his car, lifted it up over part of the house, and it landed in his backyard underneath his boat. And they showed it. They showed it. This is an F2. And I just think, I'm not trying to fearmonger here, but that brought it home to me, just how scary these weather events can be.
He drunk drove his car a few weeks ago
under his boat,
and this is a perfect explanation.
If he did that, Oscar, this guy would have probably had to put that car into drive and get it up to 80 miles per hour. They actually showed on the news the video of this, what was left of his car.
Scary.
Underneath, jammed underneath his boat. It was like nothing I've ever seen.
It was
before.
Horrible so was to see scary. That happen to a Lamborghini.
There are no Lamborghinis in Cape Coral.
Like my body?
Like my body?
All right, hey, we got a good show today. Lots of fun stuff. Not fun, but we're going to have a serious discussion
solid
about the
stuff,
movie
yeah.
Concussion with Dominic Foxworth, so that's coming up. We're going to start the show right now. You hump?
Okay.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
What do they want?
The NFL
wants you to say you made it all up.
I made it up.
They're accusing you of fraud.
If you retract, you'll be fine. This all goes away.
Why are they doing this?
They're terrified of you. Bennett Amalu is going to war with a corporation that has 20 million people on a weekly basis craving their product, the same way they crave food. The NFL owns a day of the week, the same day the church used to own. Now it's theirs. They're very big.
You know what history does to people. Trained physicians who ignore science.
Oh, wow.
Sir, I am not done. History laughs, but men, your men, continue to die. Their families left in ruins. Tell the truth. Tell the truth.
You sure you want to do this?
I would ask you that same question, Dr. Maroon.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana.
And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
That is Will Smith as Dr. Bennett Omalu, a true hero.
Yes.
You really, outside of the movie, that'll be it, because I have my theories that we'll talk about down the road about this. That's it. That's coming up. Coming to you live from the Cappy Fiber Studio in the heart of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. This is the Mike O'Mara Show, on the air and online worldwide. The Mike O'Mara Show, a daily radio show and podcast with the greatest listeners on the planet, because they get it. And if you're here, you do too. Welcome back. A new year. Blue Apron. Great to be talking about them again. Time to put your kitchen to good use. Really use your kitchen. So many people don't. Blue Apron makes it easy. Besides, cooking at home means eating healthier and saving money. And we've been telling you about Blue Apron for a good long time now because we love it. And Carla is absolutely excited beyond belief about it. They've got you covered. You'll love the simplicity and the value. For less than $10 a meal, Blue Apron delivers all of the fresh ingredients you need to create delicious home-cooked meals. Just follow the easy step-by-step instructions. Each meal can be prepared in 40 minutes or less, and that means no more overwhelming trips to the grocery store and no more takeout.
Yes.
No matter what dietary preferences you have, Blue Apron makes it a breeze to discover and prepare dishes like delicious lamb and beef gyros. Now, I pronounce it gyros. We used to work with a radio personality who said gyro. And I suppose that is the proper Greek pronunciation.
Yes.
Gyro, Gordon Liddy. That's delicious lamb and beef gyros with roasted cauliflower and cucumber yogurt sauce.
Delicious.
So good. I've had this one, and my mouth is watering thinking about it. You'll be cooking with ingredients you've never used before. All the recipes between 500 and 700 calories per portion. Tasty. Good for you. Right now, get your first two meals free by going to blueapron.com/TMOS. A lot of our listeners have been posting pictures of their Blue Apron meals online.
It's fun.
You want to get on this party, it's our treat, really. The first two meals on us when you go to blueapron.com/TMOS. Blue Apron is a better way to cook. Okay, it's time to talk a little football, and specifically a movie that, I'll be honest with you, I'm surprised that more people haven't seen it, but when you go up against Star Wars, that's the way that went down, and we're calling Dominique Foxworth right now. Fox, are you there?
What up, Mike?
Hey, how are you, Fox? It's great to have you on the show. This, ladies and gentlemen, is Dominic Foxworth. He is formerly of your Baltimore Ravens, also played for the Denver Broncos and Atlanta Falcons, retired in 2012, and he became the youngest player to become VP of the NFL Players Association Executive Committee. And in 2014, Dominic was named COO of the NBA Players Association. And the reason we got Fox on, not just because he's an NFL player, but he wrote an article for USA Today after he went to see the movie Concussion. And if you guys haven't known, I'll just enlighten you right now that the movie Concussion is the Will Smith film about Dr. Bennett Omalu, who actually uncovers this encephalopathy, I think I got that right, that results from concussions in the NFL. It started with Mike Webster with the Pittsburgh Steelers and went through a lot of other players. The most famous probably would be Junior Seau, mm-hmm. who took his own life. And it's been something that has been a fairly significant news story, but I would like to suggest that really I don't think it's getting nearly the attention that it really should, and because there's big money involved. That's just a little conspiracy theory I have. But Fox, you wrote a very, very, very enlightening and open and honest article about your experience of seeing the movie. And one of the things you point out is that when you walked into the theater, you know, you look at it in a totally different perspective because you were there. You've had the head collisions, you've experienced this, and it just puts a different spin on it. What did you, when you went into the theater to see this movie, was there a level of cynicism there when you first walked in?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I think in the article I kind of analogize it to how doctors must feel when they are watching Grey's Anatomy, or I guess lawyers feel when they watch Law and Order. I anticipated like them just kind of making me uncomfortable because of how badly they depicted the industry in which I made a living. So I can't say that I was looking forward to it, but I felt like I should see it. And I was surprised. I know the movie hasn't done all that well, but and I mean I'm not a movie critic to say whether it was good or bad, but it was moving. And I think for me, part of the in theater experience was going in there, and I think before I walked in the theater, having existed in a football world for my entire life, there are like stratifications within that world. So I felt different from a lot of the players. And I think when I went into the theater and looked around and saw the people in there, I realized that I'm a lot more like those players than I am like the general public. And then watching the guys go through the tough times that they went through, it really kind of made it hit home for me, sitting there with my wife, realizing like I have no control over what happens. Like the damage has already been done to my brain. Whatever damage was done has already been done. And at some point I could turn into those guys. And it's terrifying to think that you'll lose control to the point where many of these guys' wives would say that they were like ideal husbands at one point, and then they're abusive and suicidal and hearing voices. I mean, that's for anybody to think that could be your future is terrifying. And I imagine that those type of brain diseases, I know those type of brain diseases can happen to any of us, but the idea that I unknowingly put myself at higher risk to experience those things is devastating. And then there was the flip side where, if you ask me in all honesty, had I known, I would have done it all over again because of what it's provided for me and my family financially, right, and the experiences that I've had. But who knows in 20 years or 10 years or how many years, if my brain does start to deteriorate and there are issues, then I don't know if I would feel the same way, because I've never been close psychologically to like suicide. I've never seen those depths, and it's hard for me to project like how I'll actually feel. And I mean, that's a tough thing to come face to face with. I always like coming on with Oscar and a mic because it's normally fun and funny, but this is not fun or funny.
Yeah, it's not. It's not. And I'll tell you how I feel. And I will resist the.
Loosen it up, Mike.
You know what, Fox? I'd love to, but I am resisting the urge to be Jesse Ventura and throw out all my conspiracy theories about this. But the fact is that when I came away from that, I do not watch this past weekend watching the football that I watched. I don't watch football the same way anymore. I look at that and I go, well, there's one. That was a pretty good one. Yeah. You know, all you had to do is watch the Cincinnati-Pittsburgh game and see. Mm-hmm. Well, nice to see they've made such enormous strides in preventing these collisions in the NFL. The fact is, and I understand the business of the NFL, and I understand that this is a sellable thing. I have this gigantic conspiracy chip on my shoulder that this movie, which talks about how much resistance the NFL gave to this doctor who was just doing his job as a coroner, who was just as a medical examiner, and brought this to light, and they fought him at every turn. And I will tell you, after watching that movie, I came away saying, well, shocker that this movie went up against Star Wars and now is getting no buzz whatsoever. I don't trust that. And I know you're not part of the business of the NFL, and you're not working for the commissioner's office, but you did work for the Players Association. I smell a goddamn rat when I see this movie going up against Star Wars, and then no Golden Globe buzz, no Oscar buzz. This movie has been buried, and I don't think it's an accident on any level. And I just ask you to comment on that, because that's my crackpot theory right there.
I don't. I think that you're a smart person, but I don't know that it requires a smart person to see what's happened. I mean, the NFL, they were partially complicit in having this movie made, and they it's believed that they had a substantial amount of influence in the way that it was made. Like, they, if you go see the movie, they used actual NFL footage, which you can't get unless the NFL gives you approval. And they also advertised during NFL games, which the NFL has the leverage. I mean, when people pay billions of dollars to air your games, which NBC and ESPN and CBS have done, NFL has the leverage to say who they can and cannot advertise, who can and cannot advertise during those games. And the movie Concussion was advertised during all NFL games. So, I mean, the league definitely had some sign off and some participation in the final outcome of this movie. I'm not sure.
I wonder if they had sign off in the release date. I'm very curious about that, because
I've no idea how much influence they had there. But I mean, frankly, I'm not sure that it matters. Like, the game is so exciting and lucrative and entertaining to people in this country. Like, this, as you mentioned, this news isn't new to anybody, that people are getting chronic traumatic brain encephalopathy from playing football, and people still show up and watch. I think it's different when the price that you have to pay isn't something that you see immediately. If people were walking off the field in the same condition that they are in their 50s and 60s, I think it would be different. But now you're so far removed from it. You don't have to watch a hit and then see, oh, this hit caused this person to lose their mind. You watch a hit, you enjoy it, you enjoy the game. And then 20 years later, someone's like, oh, yeah, this guy lost his mind. It's different when you don't have to pay the price emotionally right at that moment.
Dominic, Jesus, why am I calling you Dom? It's Oscar, your buddy.
I know, we're friends.
Your buddy,
buddy.
Yeah.
Only people who aren't my friend call me Dom. Yeah.
First off,
that's what everybody at business will call me Dom.
Yeah, I'm gonna go back to our friendship, Dominique. When I saw the movie, and really what drove me to see the movie was your article in USA Today, and I thought something, and you mentioned it when you first talked about the article, the idea that there are players out there that have been exposed a longer term and a shorter term to these type of impacts, depending on their position, depending on how they played. And then the thought process of, okay, well, my position wasn't as violent, or I only had a couple of concussions, or what the math actually leads up to, you know, any type of consequence. Since there isn't that math, that's really an area where you're like, okay, how does this work, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's really what makes it most terrifying. And I think, like I mentioned before, I thought of myself as different than a lot of the players who are getting these issues, because they were linebackers and linemen and kind of people who bang heads every play. But I think, like I mentioned, going into the theater, I realized that I'm not like the people who are coming and sitting down next to me. I'm like the people who are on the screen. While I'm not exactly like them, I am like them. And I may not have necessarily had as many contacts as them. The truth is, the science isn't there yet to know whether it's one big blow that can cause this, or if it's a series of repetitive subconcussive episodes that can cause it, or if there's some predisposition that each of us may or may not have that makes us more likely to have it. I mean, all that stuff is not knowable. So, I mean, the mystery is scary, that you walk out of for me at least, many of the people next to me walked out of the theater and it was just a movie for them. And they no longer had to worry about if Mike Webster or Dave Duerson were going to kill themselves. But I walk out of theater, and every time I misplace my keys or forget where I parked my car, it's in my mind, like, is this just something that happens to people, or is this me starting to deteriorate? So,
well, you're
terrifying.
You're a student, and you know, you've been a student your whole life, and you've you've done so many things with your own education. And I would think that what I know about you from being on the show and what I've read about you is that you would probably get as much education about this particular subject as possible. My question to you, they lay out some percentages, and you're right, they really don't know how many players down the road can be affected by this. And one of the things I took away from the movie is that the diagnostics for this particular condition can only happen post-mortem. So they have to actually biopsy the brains after death, which is that alone is absolutely terrifying. Have they developed, and I don't know whether you know the answer to this or not, have they developed any testing that can be done prior to this to you know, indicate to you and other players that maybe, you know, you got a problem?
So, I mean, that's being able to find out before would be nice, but there's also, like, there isn't a treatment for it. So being able to find out before also may not be nice. So if there were a treatment, that'd be different. But there are some tests out in UCLA where they're able to they claim that they're able to detect a particular protein that can tell you if you have it. But that test, I think, is a lot of experts have said that test is not valid. They're working on some stuff at Boston University that's supposed to be cutting edge and be able to do it. But I mean, it's back to the thing that I just said is so. I mean, I can tell you that you have it, but then what? Like,
terrifying.
The suggestion now, I mean, what the recommendation now is something that I already do, is just like try to stay active mentally and that's it. Do some crosswords or something.
I know. Yeah, you're certainly not doing that, Fox. How many degrees do you have? you're the polar opposite of a disc jockey. That's for sure. Not enough. That's a good answer. Go ahead, Rob. You had a question.
I know there are, you know, all the facts that are in place that we're doing the best we can to try and figure out where we stand now. But you're in a unique place. I'd like to ask your opinion about one facet. You were head of the Players Association when all this stuff just started to trickle out, when it started to happen. You were there. You were right there with it. And as it was happening, it had to be almost surreal to watch it replay in front of you on the big screen, people being played by actors that you actually knew and you've yelled at in real life or had conversations with, forgive me. Do you think that it was, and this is really just an opinion of yours, was it fairly represented on the screen? Was it good storytelling? Were liberties taken? How close to what we see in Concussion is what you lived through?
Yeah, so, I mean, there were liberties taken, and, I mean, there was a lot excluded, but, I mean, it had to be an entertaining movie.
Sure.
All the long, boring meetings are not entertaining, and it's a lot easier to paint people with a kind of broad brush and like, and have a clear villain a clear protagonist. Because, I mean, even Benin Amalu, his history.
Okay, we had a little glitch there. Hey, Fox, we're going to take a break, and we will continue this discussion about the movie Concussion and your time in the NFL and all that good stuff with Dominique Foxworth. We'll take a short break, and we'll come right back.
Hello, this is Matt Bloom. You know, Pony Boy. We wanted to bring some sizzle to the mailbag, so they brought me in, Mr. Excitement, to really get you guys riled up. If you want to get in on the red-hot action, just send an email to rob@mikeomarashow.com. That's Rob with two B's. Or if you like mail, P.O. Box 2796, Leesburg, Virginia, 20177. I hate mail. It's too slow. I crave action. So if you have a question or comment, send it along. And now, time for a nap.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Well, 2016 is here. It's a new year, but one thing that hasn't changed, you still do not have the time to go to the post office. Here is a great resolution you can make. Maximize every minute and every dollar from your small business, and you can do it with Stamps.com.
Yes.
Stamps.com is the better way to buy postage. You can buy official U.S. postage right from your desk at a fraction of the cost of one of those expensive postage meters. You can mail and ship anything, anywhere, and all you need is your computer and printer. Print your postage instantly as soon as you need it. Stick it on, and then the mailman takes it away. Piece of cake. We've used Stamps.com for years. We adore it, and you can ship everything with Stamps.com. They're simply the best. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use our special promo code TMOS for this special offer. A four-week digital trial, just a four-week regular trial, plus a $110 bonus offer that includes postage and a digital scale. That's why I said digital.
That's right.
And don't wait. Go to Stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in TMOS. That's Stamps.com and TMOS. You will never have to go to the post office again. We are talking with Dominique Foxworth. He, formerly of your boss, the Baltimore Ravens. He currently is a friend of Mr. Oscar Santana and the Mike O'Mara Show. And we're talking about Concussion and a movie that, frankly, I'm a little surprised didn't get more buzz, get more publicity. And, well, Fox enlightened me. I didn't know how much of a hand the NFL had in the actual production of the movie, but it's interesting and it's scary. If you want to know about things that are going on that you might not know, I would recommend this movie because it's enlightening to me.
Very enlightening.
I think it's a little bit scary, but now I want to ask Fox something else. It just seems to me if you're in the United States, doesn't matter what's going to hurt you or kill you, if you like something and if we as the public, we like something, like we like watching you guys butt heads on Sunday, it's very, very difficult to move anything in the direction of something ridiculous like personal safety and health.
Right.
That's just not going to happen. So where do you see this going? I mean, the NFL had to kind of have they had to be pushed in this direction. Do you see it continuing? You're closer to it than I am. Do you see that? Are they going to continue to work with this?
I think that the future of the NFL is completely dependent on whether we're able to figure out a way to treat or prevent these things from happening, which may completely destroy the game that as we know it. So I think that it's fairly clear that the numbers for youth playing football is going down, and it's not. I mean, I don't necessarily think that's a problem for having a supply of players as much as it's a problem for having a supply of fans, because I think so many of our young men and women are around the game at a young age, and that's where they learn about the game. Football is not a simple game. If you look at football the same way you look at hockey or lacrosse or soccer or basketball, like those games are pretty simple to understand. You get the ball into the net, fairly simple, and the rules around that are easy. But football is not something that you can just pick up and watch, and if people aren't engaged in it at a young age, I'm not sure that there'll be a legitimate fan base 20, 30 years from now.
Well, let me ask you the Mike Ditka question then. I hate to put you on the spot, but in fact, I don't, you have, how many kids do you have now, Fox? Do you have any kids yourself?
Yep. I have two and one on the way.
And
he has Oscar.
And hey! And how many mask? And do you have any masculine children?
Yes, the middle one.
Okay,
two-year-old boy like you, right? You have a.
I've got a little. I've got my first son, 29 months, and I'm thrilled. I will tell you what Mrs. O'Mara said coming out of the theater. No way. Not even hockey. He's not going to be. Yeah, he's not. And there's nothing. I mean, when Carla says something to me, I know that it's law. And they're, you know, we do have a pretty good give and take. But she walked out of that, and I guarantee you he will not play football.
What about,
my question for you.
What about the smoking? What'd she say about that?
No, stop it.
Thanks. Jesus. All right. Thanks. Thanks.
Like we say, Oscar.
All right.
Oscar, if America loves something, they're going to do it. That's right.
I'm 56 years old. Are you going to let the, stop it. Jeez, can I get the question out with you two? Would you let your little guy, will you let your little guy participate if he wants to participate in football?
Yeah, I mean, I doubt it.
There you go.
It's not, I mean, unless there's some advancements. I have some time now, unless there's some advancements medically between now and then to allow me to consider it. But as of now, I don't see the reason. Like, there's no reason to. There are plenty of other games you can play. There's plenty of other ways you can learn about sportsmanship and teamwork and respect and responsibility. Because I think that's some of the things that I learned while playing football, and goal setting and working together. All those things are great values that you can learn playing football.
Wow.
But you can learn those things during games or playing games that do not destroy your brain. So, I mean, I don't see the reason for that. I mean, it's hard for me to, given the life that I've created for my family through playing football, it's hard for me to say to other young kids that they shouldn't play because it's been good for my life. But, I mean, we are where we are now. My son's going to go to live in a fancy neighborhood and go to great schools. There really is no reason. And the chances of him being a professional football player are slim to none. So there's really no reason for him to play football, frankly.
And he's lucky because I think he's got a father who's a role model for so many other things in life as well, besides just the football. And, you know, you're a walking testament to the value of education and bettering yourself in that regard.
I'll come down to Florida and raise your son too.
Thank you. Well,
you might need to.
You know, I'm writing that down because based on the actuarial tables that I'm looking at, Fox, you know, I think there's a very good chance that, I would say probably late middle school. He's probably going to need a father figure.
Late
to,
middle school. You know, Dominique, how does your April look?
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I'm hesitant to even ask this question of you because I have to because I got you on and to have an NFL player's perspective on this difficult question of concussions. When you watched this movie and when you were thinking about it after you saw it, maybe before you saw it, do you think about the amount of times as a defensive back in the NFL that you had those kind of collisions that may not have resulted in a concussion, but definitely involved a blow to the head? Do you think about that? And how many did you count them? Did you start thinking about that yourself?
I'm fortunate enough to never been knocked unconscious, but I mean, I definitely had a lot of hits where, I mean, it was clear that I had some sort of traumatic blow to my brain because you could feel a little different. So, I mean, I thought about those, in NFL, and I thought about those in high school and college also. And I even thought about the ones where I was delivering the blow and I knocked somebody out or somebody was obviously in a lot of pain. And at the time it was like, that's what I was trying to do, and I was proud of myself.
Good job.
Looking back on it now, I feel guilty and terrible. And I mean, especially in high school, I got a lot of people reached out to me, including former high school teammates of mine who said that they had 3 and 4 concussions in high school, which who's to say when you're a high school kid, like that could be enough. If you get knocked out 3 or 4 times in high school, who knows what that'll lead to? Mm-hmm. But it's not
terrifying.
Necessarily a concern now because it's not on the big stage. So who knows?
How are you with the percentages that they lay out? I forgot what it is. Something like 25% or something like this. 28% in the NFL that guys are going to. Are you aware of, after it kind of slows down after Junior Seau's story. Where is it right now? You probably know that better than anybody.
The percentages?
Yeah, as far as, but you know, just not even percentages, just guys you might be aware of that might be suffering some of this encephalopathy. It's tough for me to say that word.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to say because I think guys are prideful. Like football players are no different than the rest of us guys, and we're prideful. We don't like going to the doctor. We don't necessarily like admitting weakness or admitting that we need help. So it's hard to find those guys, unfortunately, until it's too late.
And I think of Jim McMahon. Jim McMahon's somebody that you hear about a lot. You know that he's dealing with that right now. Some of the
symptoms out there for guys, but if they're going to try to get some help, is kind of the next question.
Yeah, it's scary. It's a scary situation. I hope. I really hope that, look, it's obviously the big business that it is.
Huge.
I've been in those. You've been in directly involved in this. I was telling the guys the other day, we've been in the lawyers' offices when it comes to spin control over stuff that's said on the air. You know, it's how the game works, folks. If you don't know that, it is how the game works. They're going to protect their financial interests. That's the way it works. It's sad, but it's the reality we live in. And as long as we've got people that love going to the games, you know, that's the way it's going to be. I only hope that because of public pressure and pressure from outside, that the NFL continues to at least help in developing whatever they can develop to prevent these type of injuries, these
reduce
brain
the
injuries.
Risk.
Yeah. And what Dominique said earlier, too. What Dominique said earlier about the fact that there are less kids playing now, and that could result in a decaying fan base. And really, the theme of this movie is, with so many, it's dollars. It's big business.
Yeah. Well,
and if that
also,
fan base decays, maybe they will be forced to make changes.
And it's also, I think, that one of the things that opened my eyes a little bit is if the American public likes something, we don't want it to be taken away. We will be in total denial of things that are ultimately going to be bad for people, especially if the people aren't people that are close to us, if it's not in our backyard. It's sad, but it's the reality.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe it's because I am 56 years old. I think in terms of the future and legacy and things like that, that, you know, I think we should be more mindful of the fact, yeah, we love watching. Who doesn't like watching the games on Sunday?
Yeah.
I love it. You know, I watched the national championship last night. I mean, I love football. I love watching it. But at the same time, is it really worth even one guy taking a shotgun and putting it in his mouth because he played the game? That's a question everybody that is a fan in the NFL has to ask themselves. And I'm sure you have to ask yourself the same question, Fox. Where do you see this going? I'm asking you to look in your crystal ball right now.
Yeah, I think that you guys are right. When there is a demand for a product, someone will supply it. And I mean, even we saw that in various cases in American history, like even currently, like there are, no matter what the laws are, like people find a way to get drugs and all types of things that there's a demand for. So I can't imagine that the NFL is going away altogether anytime soon, as long as there's a demand for the product. And I think that they'll continue to try to make it safer, but it'll never be completely safe. And the only way that it'll end is if the people stop wanting it, which I don't know. I don't imagine seeing that happen anytime soon.
I hope they do what they can to make it safer.
Yeah, speaking of demand, what about your time on this Sunday for Soccer Sunday? I haven't seen you in 2 months, it feels like.
Sorry, yeah. I'm going to be in L.A., I think, this weekend.
Maybe must be nice. be nice.
Well, they have soccer fields in Los Angeles. You could
what do you think, Oscar? Fox, what do you think about your boy getting his MBA here? What do you think? Pretty good stuff. He's kind of following in your footsteps, isn't he?
Yeah, I'm proud, but a little mad. I have nothing over him now.
I wouldn't say that.
Yeah. So how are things, real quick before we let you go, because we're up on a break here, but I want to know, how are things going with the NBA and your studies and your degrees? I can't even keep track. What are you doing now? What's happening in your life now?
So I am finished with business school and also finished with the MBA. So I am sitting in front of my computer chilling right now.
No.
So we moved up to New York for a little while, and we're going to come back to D.C. Probably towards the beginning of the summer, and then I will be starting something new in the D.C. area. So I'm kind of laid back right now. All the boasting that you did about my accomplishments is kind of embarrassing now because I ain't got no job.
Oh yeah, yeah. I feel for you.
We've all been there.
I feel for you, Powerball winner. I really do. My sympathies. Yeah, and I know you're just going to be a deadbeat the rest of your life. Right? Not. Thank you, Dominique. When you get back to DC, come into the studio,
please.
Hang out with us if you're not too busy. And thanks for sharing this. Thanks for sharing it in USA Today. I thought it was a brilliantly written article and enlightening and very open and honest about this. And I hope the NFL just continues to be an ally in this, and that and I hope that doctors like Omalu and real American heroes, people that buck the system, and what an honorable man,
brave.
Even if part of it was true, what a beautifully honorable human being that guy was.
So Dominique was hung up on. So thank you, Dominique. I'll thank you.
Was he really hung up on? Yes.
Did
Tony hang up on him?
I just pointed it at him, and he can't hang up on him. That's it.
You pointed
at
me.
Are you listening to this effing interview?
Wow. Why would you point at me?
Because you're about to make a huge error.
That's fantastic.
We'll take a break.
Last time I was pointed at, I got yelled at for not hanging up.
Are you listening to this interview?
Yes. But you pointed at me. Last time I was pointed at, I got yelled at because
so
I didn't hang up the phone.
We'll take a break.
It's a great show.
Brilliant.
Give it a listen.
It is.
We'll come back and service some more bicycles right after this.
You're my world, lady love.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Amazon. That was a bit of a minefield during the Fox interview because let me get the Amazon out of the way.
Please
2016
do.
Is here, out with the old, in with the new, Auld Lang Syne and all that stuff. But don't forget to make an important New Year's resolution. Resolve to do all your online shopping through our Amazon link. We keep reminding you because you do it, and when you tell us you do it, it's fantastic.
Love it.
Anytime you purchase something through our Amazon link, we get a tiny percentage. It doesn't cost you any extra. So stick to the 2016 Amazon resolution and you'll feel even better. Go to MikeOmaraShow.com/Amazon, or you can click the button on our website or use the TMOS app and click on the shopping cart. Then shop like you normally would. It's that simple, but it means the world to us. Happy New Year, brave buddy. Okay. So the first thing that happened, I believe, was on my end because I start getting the way I could describe the sound would be an electrical connection malfunction.
Like a clickety-click-click almost?
Which I will double-check. I unplugged and plugged in, and then it came back on strong.
Good.
Then we had a disconnect with that fabulous Skype connection that we have.
Right. Mm.
And then at the end, Ponyboy just hung up on him because I was in the process of saying goodbye to him, and that happened.
Well,
and
Pony
that's because
hates Dominique.
That's the
yes,
thing.
That is
now,
it.
Pony doesn't really sweat those details. It's more.
Were
of a
you
self-
listening to the show?
Yes, but you pointed at me, and I remember the last time I was listening to the show, and I was pointed at. I was supposed to hang up. That was my cue the last time.
Way to think out of the box, Pony. That's the kind of critical thinking that we need
let's,
to go onward and upward.
Let's have a learning lesson here.
Yeah, let's turn
and
this
Pony,
into something positive.
Yes,
Pony, you know you're my guy, right? I value you. I value you as I value my voice. I value you, and I believe in you. Be honest with me.
Pony,
I missed that here.
This is a
what
tribute.
He's looked forward to forever. All right. I'm sorry, not during unlearning moment. Sorry, we're not fluffing it. No,
be honest with me, Mac.
Fluffing it.
If,
how dare you?
Oh, Mac.
How effing dare you?
If you were listening, you would have known that Mike was saying thank you and ramping up for Dominic to say thank you, and
yes,
then you hang up.
Or you're welcome, at
the
least.
The reason why I pointed at you was to get ready to hang up on him.
Mm-hmm.
Not to hang up on him. So you weren't listening, because if you were, you would have known that it wasn't over.
I guess you're right.
Okay, that's all right. I was trying to get
then
to.
Then let me jump in at the last minute on this learning moment here, okay?
Oscar, and this goes I guess to, you're right, too.
Right, I'm putting through an edict, okay?
All
this
right.
is this is an edict. We, as much as I love those boys, we are not the sports junkies. I'm old school, guys. I'm old school. When we're doing this show, I don't want anything. It's just like I would tell my kids at dinner. I'm done. With, you know, if we're going to ask for something to come up on the computer where we're going to look for something that's relevant to the show, that's fine. But any double dipping as far as any other crap that's going on, don't worry about it. Okay, so this is it. This is the new policy. If something is relevant to the show, for example, what was the movie that guy was in? I don't care if everybody goes to their computers and starts doing that. Other than that, let's please, like Larry Sanders would say, please focus on the show. That's the important part.
Especially, or just give me the keyboard from now on, because clearly this is something you can't handle.
That sounds good to me.
What about listening to the show?
He'll relinquish responsibility.
What about listening to the show?
I do listen to the show.
And you see, that's the troubling thing, is you know the flow of the show. Uh-huh. You put together best ofs like no one does. You know how this show works. Even if Oscar points at you, you should have. It troubles me.
We've beaten him up enough, but I do have one last question.
But we do love you.
We'll be done.
We love you.
We'll
very
be done
much.
With this.
Yes.
Was part of the fact that you really weren't paying attention because it was, you know, even though when it was a serious discussion, that it was a sports interview and you could give a rat's ass.
You might be right about that.
Thank you. Okay, that's an honest answer.
But I respect
Dominique greatly. I don't think it was personal.
No, I do too.
A lot of me apologizing for us.
Rob, how do you get that USA Today article? Everybody should read that too, because it was really kind of cool.
We'll post
I
that
sent
on
you
our
the
page.
Link, but we'll post it on our Facebook all over the place. We'll actually post it on the show post.
Yeah, we can
today.
Do that. Yeah.
Thank you.
You know, I still continue. I didn't know. So you learned something by getting a guy like Dominique. I didn't know that the NFL had a hand in some of the production.
I
of
was
that.
So
maybe
suspicious
maybe they
of it.
Watered it down a little bit.
Was suspicious of it because I did start seeing actual NFL footage, and I was thinking about how they could have cleared it, how they could have acquired it. And I bet there was a tremendous tap dance, you know, about if you do this, we'll do this, and we'll give you this. If you maybe don't mention this, and I imagine it was a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff, but obviously they have their finger in it somehow.
Within the movie, guys, and Rob, did you get a chance to see the movie?
We both saw it.
Okay, so you know within the movie when their greatest fear, and Dominique spoke to this a little bit, their greatest fear is the mommies out there that aren't going to let their kids play the game.
Exactly.
Make no mistake about it. That is the greatest fear. I think the NFL has look. I don't trust the NFL. The NFL is to me one of the most giant evil corporations that exists.
Oh, they're
out
like tobacco was 40 years ago.
They control everything. Yep. And they're so powerful. Albert Brooks, what a great line for him in that movie too. They own a day of the week.
The
one that the church used to own. That is so true. As long as you are offering it to me, I couldn't turn away from it.
No.
I don't think I could.
It's too much fun to watch, too much history. But
that's it. That's what we care about. And I don't know. Maybe someday we're all going to evolve
a little bit
more.
I don't know.
Everybody watches.
It is
everybody
so
watches.
Perfectly.
I watch hockey. Hockey has horrible collisions, too.
But
the thing
about football is it and television grew up together. It is the perfect televised product. The whole industry matured together. The TV timeout is part of the rules of a game. I mean, the whole
thing.
There's
a lot of money at stake.
They walk hand in hand.
I worry
there's
that I
so much money at play. Oh, my God.
I could start a separate podcast and be Johnny Conspiracy Theorist, because I'm beginning to truly trust no one. I feel like we are so manipulated and we are so played that I don't know where it came from. But when you watch a movie like this,
you've always not trusted anyone.
No,
do you think my conspiracy theorist, Jesse Ventura, has bubbled beneath the surface, Oscar, that it's been there for a long time?
It's been there forever.
Yeah, but it's worse now because I think they're getting more blatant, because I think as a world we're getting stupider. But like when some Hollywood star has some outrageous statement 9 days to the day before a big movie opens, and we cover the outrageous statement like it's news, and then we realize the movie is out.
But I think they did it with a movie called Scarface a million years ago with Al Pacino. And I remember the hype leading up to that movie where I couldn't get in my car fast enough, where they're talking about this movie is almost going to get an X rating because of the violence. And I was like, get in the car. We have to go see it.
You know what was another movie that was like that? Was the Jeff Goldblum Fly. It is so gross. The Fly is so disgusting that you'll never forget what you saw. And my dad and I, our shirts never touched our back. We were off to see it.
Wait till you see The Revenant. Different type of film.
Mike, that's a bear movie.
Did you guys see,
I saw it last night, yeah.
Oh, I get to go see it tomorrow.
Has a bear.
You sound like an idiot because it is a masterpiece, let me tell you.
It's a bear movie.
It's not a bear movie.
Our
it's
good friend BDK, I watched part of his, is it Tom Hardy, the other guy, and Leonardo DiCaprio?
Yeah, nice pull.
I saw the interview that BDK had with those guys. He gets super nerded out, but I like it. I actually like the process of how they do that. And when he said, how did you shoot the scene with the bear out in the real light in the woods? And and then I think DiCaprio answered with, oh, kind of a series of pulleys. That's wow. Kind of cool, you know, just to flop him around and do that. It's very, very important. Speaking of conspiracy theories,
yes.
All you're hearing about now, it's the lead on many, many news, is the Powerball.
Yeah.
And I have been reading a number of these little conspiracy theories. First of all, we're all aware of the... you know, if you divided it into the 300 million Americans, everybody get a million. No, that's incorrect math. So we're all rude about
good.
That, too.
It looked great on paper until you actually it's not $1 million. It's $4.
Exactly.
It's all about place value, Mike. It depends where you put the commas.
Exactly.
But all the math wizards, I've seen that on Facebook.
Right.
At the end of the day, if you win this, The weird part about even the hype for this is that when it was at $500 million, half a billion dollars,
right.
This is the same type of appetite we had.
Mm-hmm.
When it was at $800 million,
right.
Same type of appetite. It's over $1 billion.
Yeah, but it also, but I do believe, and I don't know this, I don't have my facts, but I think that it rises exponentially. The more that there is, the more participation.
Oh, that's what I'm
saying.
Yeah.
The bigger it grows.
Those are the facts. But what I'm saying is, the conspiracy theorists about how much harder it is if
the
game was set up, that they wanted to get bigger jackpots to move the meter. They went from 64% to 67%.
Mm-hmm.
Those percentage points are relevant, but at the end of the day, you're still playing the effing dot lottery.
Exactly.
Well, the
first theory I've read a lot about is that the lottery is used as a method to raise revenue for the government without raising taxes to fund special black operations behind the eyes of the American people. I don't. I'd say that's I don't know if it's black
so
ops
much
that they're doing.
Smarter than this.
No. But I don't think it's black ops. But I certainly the logic is there. The fact is there that this is certainly a method for raising revenue for government. Of course it is.
Well, that's
local government.
Make it legal. Yeah.
Actually, right now, is it Virginia? Actually, Maryland is. Maryland's picked three. Maryland's picked three numbers. They actually changed the rules around a little bit where their math was off, and people that were picking three-digit consecutive 666 or 777,
right?
They've been winning so much that the lottery for that one game, the pick three game, is underwater. They've been giving away so much money.
Well, you see, Mike, if you pick three digits, you don't need to box it because they're already in the same order. So you can go pick 444, 666, and that's how they put that underwater.
Yeah, and somehow they're losing money.
Order.
So when I read all of that, I sit there and I'm like,
great to lose money on a lottery.
Well, but they're not losing money on the national Powerball, right?
Okay, no one is.
Yeah, but on the state lotteries.
There's so many conspiracy theories about the lottery.
And when I see the, and so, and I beg of anyone that has any sort of logic, when you see these stories, look at the link it's coming from, mm-hmm. and if it's something that's out of the blue, that makes no sense, that you've never heard.
Any website
the one I'm
that
looking
has
at,
double X in it,
yeah.
Stay away from it.
The one that I'm looking at right now, in the middle of it, has an ad for get 80% off the world's best military flashlight. I don't think I'm going to be diving into that one, real true.
But, so when you
we are rubes. We are all rubes.
I'm buying this one.
Me too.
Because it's our dedication to self, and that's every country. That's not just America. That's the way it goes. We have to, you know.
In Bolivia, the lottery gives you $100,000, and that's a jackpot.
Sure.
And everybody runs around buying those.
You see,
Bolivia, if you were traveling around the world, right now, the United States would be in the high limit section.
Yes.
And if you went down to Bolivia, you'd be playing the penny slots.
Penny slots.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah. But you have to face it, Mike. If you do win $500 million, and that'll be approximately your take home when all the tickets are bought, mm-hmm. that's enough money to change your life.
Do you know, seriously? Do you want a seriously sick thought?
What?
But this is truly how I think.
Yeah.
I thought about the fact that if I won this jackpot, I still would have the Irish guilt, and I commit this to all of our listeners, I would have the Irish guilt to continue to do this program. I truly would. And I would give Oscar and Rob enough where they would walk away, causing me to walk away.
You thought twice about not doing the show?
No, Oscar, I never did.
You see, there you go.
I never did.
Why? Yeah. I actually said if anybody wins, we could actually build the show into what we want it to be.
Yes. Yeah, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. No, I didn't think about walking away not once.
Mike, think of a gleaming, shining glass studio in Leesburg.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll fly you in.
Right. I can't believe
it. Why don't we? How about this? If we win, we'll build our own town.
You thought of leaving.
O'Maryland.
Mikeville.
Mikeville. It'd be fantastic.
Sad.
Yeah. What's sad that I thought about leaving the show?
I thought your Irish guilt was going to be for winning and having all those riches in your life. Your Irish guilt was that you were going to leave us.
Yeah. Yeah. But on the other side, when I processed it, I said, no, I have an obligation to the listeners, not you guys, the listeners of this show.
I listen.
thank you.
I do,
that's
too,
what,
sometimes.
And that's what got me back to the spot where I think a twice-yearly show would be beautiful. My special. Still no, same address. Anyway, we'll take a break. Come back with news you may not need on the Mike O'Mara Show. What deep in love?
Hi, I'm Rob Spiewak.
And I'm Katie.
And we are the two principals on Cake and Cookies, but sometimes there's a third, always in the background. It's Katie's husband. Let's see if he's around.
Hey, Dan?
Yeah?
Did you get some Powerball tickets?
Yes, I won, babe.
Remember, you can't win if you don't play, and you can't laugh if you don't listen. It's Cake and Cookies on the Mike O'Mara Show app and on iTunes.
He called me Beebs.
He's Cake. She's Cookies.
Yeah.
It's Rob and Katie.
There they are, those two kids.
Yes, new episode up now, right?
Yes, it is.
Check it out.
Constant
folks.
Taboo sex on that show.
Deviant sex, Mike. Incredible. Deviant.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Here's a fact. Most Americans get less than the recommended 7 to 8 hours of sleep per night. No good.
No good.
So make sleep your number one New Year's resolution, because science proves that getting more sleep will make it easier to achieve. I got to get that listener just 2 days ago that sent me the little link. Not a link, but a nice little message about buying a Sleep Number bed over the holidays. It was wonderful. For the best possible sleep. For other resolutions, throw them out the window. Sleep's the most important thing. And I love my bed, the Sleep Number bed with Sleep IQ technology. The Sleep Number bed lets you choose your ideal comfort on each side, so it's the perfect bed for couples. Last night, I did one of those big super turns from the left to the right, and Mrs. O'Mara was none the wiser, because we have the dual bed thing that we added. Anyway, add optional Sleep IQ technology and track and optimize your sleep. Whether it's adjusting your Sleep Number setting or making different lifestyle choices, you'll always know what's working, because Sleep IQ can prove it. My Sleep Number was a 90. Carla's is a 65. Mine's back down to an 85, by the way. And last night, my Sleep IQ score was an 87. I woke up because I forgot to go winky tink in the middle of the night.
Well, Mike, let's work on that.
Sleep Number mattresses start at only $799.99, and right now, during the lowest price of the season, you can save $800 on the Sleep Number i8 bed, rated number one by a leading consumer magazine. No better sleep with Sleep Number. Sleep Number beds and Sleep IQ are only available at any of the 475 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Find one near you by calling 800-511-0061, and don't forget to sign contentedly. And tell him that Mike O'Mara sent you.
News!
That was new.
That's new for the new year, Mike. I'm just feeling snooze.
Crest! Right.
So
a graphic, speaking about Powerball, a graphic about the Powerball jackpot was going around on Facebook yesterday. It said that the $1.3 billion jackpot was divided. If it was divided among the 300 million people in the U.S., we'd all get $4.33 million. Quote, poverty solved. Duh. Unfortunately, the meme is missing one key ingredient, math. 1.3 billion divided by 300 million people is $4.33, not 4.33 million. Plus, there are more like 319 million Americans, so we'd all get closer to 409, or about $2 after taxes. The graphic has been shared more than 1.2 million times. If you're the 1% and you're in your ivory tower and you're looking down on us, it's been shared 1.2 million times. Of course, we're done.
We're
toast.
We're morons.
We are. We are manipulated. You can send us anywhere. You can do anything and get away with it. The people that pay attention, this is math. It's like, this poverty solved. Yeah. You know,
right.
It's incredible.
And
it's
then
incredible.
They hung up on an NFL player.
There you go.
Stop. He's great at numbers.
You're right. Just you're not right.
People
Tony,
skills.
It was just a joke.
The
I don't know what
Powerball
happened.
Jackpot is over a billion now because no one's won since November 4th, but plenty of people have matched the five regular numbers without getting the Powerball. You don't hear a lot about this. That gives you a sweet $1 million. In fact, the Powerball has made 67 people millionaires since the last time someone won the jackpot,
wow.
Including 28 on Saturday. So, hey, even if you don't win a billion tomorrow, maybe you'll just miss and get a $1 million consolation prize. That would be okay.
Two millionaires in Maryland, and I think they had seven $50,000 winners in Virginia.
I don't know what I'm going to do with all my money.
I'm going to buy the biggest bushel of crabs in the history of mankind.
Hello, Kaz.
Yes, right.
I want a bushel of Jumbos, and I want a six-pack of beer, and I'll be there to pick it up.
I'm going to go to English's Fried Chicken and talk about how much I like Trump with Big Don O'Brien. Justin. God. When did he turn into that guy? Anyway, Justin Bieber visited some Mayan ruins. This is a story I didn't get to yesterday. In Mexico last Thursday, at a local official, this is, I've had one Bieber story, haven't I, in 2016? Maybe one?
I believe this is number two.
This is the first real one, though. Here we go.
Okay.
Bieber goes to Mayan ruins with his entourage, and they were asked to leave for not following the rules and disobeying security. The anonymous official says Justin hopped a fence and was climbing on ruins that he wasn't supposed to. He is such a little dick. TMZ claims it was a little more dramatic than that. They say that Justin and his buddies were drinking beers while touring the ruins, that Justin climbed to the top of one of the structures and mooned everyone.
Oh, God.
What an a-hole.
Then they were hurling insults at the staff on their way out, and the police were called, although Justin was gone by the time they got there. Others say Justin's pants fell down unintentionally. Oh, God, please.
He accidentally dropped his trousers. Yes.
It's a possibility because there are photos of Justin with some dolphins from later that day.
Like Dan
He's
Marino?
Such a little dick. He's such a little dick. Every day his fun is like to get totally wasted but go to like amusement park. That's what he does. His shorts are sagging below his backside. Justin hasn't commented, but it's hard to imagine he'd be asked to leave over an innocent mistake or something like that. So There you go. There he continues. Keep on keeping on, Justin.
I'm sure he will issue a well-worded statement.
Here's another great guy. Charlie Sheen was on Dr. Oz yesterday and said he's completely sober. How about that?
Oh, look at that.
He quit drinking the day after his interview with Matt Lauer.
So he was soused during that interview?
That's the one where he revealed,
I'm going to stop drinking.
Yeah,
he's HIV positive. He said he's tried to stop drinking about 2,000 times over the years.
Me too.
But this time it wasn't hard at all. Quote, it was like turning off a switch. I took Valium for a couple of days and it was done. I just felt so right. Such a relief. Winning.
Scary guy.
He added that he's not worried about relapsing. Quote, there was a stretch where I didn't drink for 11 years. No cocaine, no booze, 11 years. So I know that I have that in me. Right now, Charlie's busy getting ready for the work ahead of him, which includes helping find a cure for HIV. He said he wants his younger kids to be able to see that he did good when they're old enough to Google him.
I know what he's saying, but I have a picture of him in a lab coat.
Yes. Okay. You're not the only one.
In a laboratory. Yeah, I think I'm going to mix this test tube with this beaker.
Making an adult film.
Excuse me, Savannah, can you give me that test tube with the tiger blood in it?
Bring all the naked lab assistants in.
Yeah.
A New York bartender claims Lindsay Lohan. Here's another. This is a threefer. This is a threefer.
All
story
your favorite
right
good people.
Lindsay Lohan and her sister Allie were asked to leave his bar on Friday night after they came in, didn't order a drink, and spent 20 minutes in the bathroom while refusing to come out. Lindsay got heated and made a series of racist remarks to the bartender, including, quote,
this is New York. You're not from around here.
Then she kept asking him if he was from Ghana in a mock African accent.
Well, you know, racism is a new feather in her quiver. I don't think she's done that one yet. Good for her.
When another customer tried to cool her down, she spat in his face. Yes, Lindsay, she's a lady.
Wow.
Whoa.
So sad.
She eventually left, but then pounded on the window and pressed her face against the glass. Obviously, she probably wasn't sober. Lindsay has not commented. They never comment.
No, of course
not. No comment from it. Yep, it was me. I did it. I mooned the people at the Mayan ruins.
You like these
apples?
And I spit
in the guy's face.
Yeah, yes. She didn't comment because she was face down on a carpet.
A new survey. Ask people how much they'd pay to drop around 15 pounds instantly. How much would you pay, Rob Spiewak, to lose 15 pounds
right away?
Instantly?
$100.
Attaboy.
Because you know what,
way
Mike?
To commit.
Mike, right,
there you go.
On me, it would just move those deck chairs around.
That's true. The average was $650. Frankly, I'm surprised it's that low. Here are some more results from the survey. 22% would give up alcohol for the rest of the year if they could drop 15 pounds immediately. 10% would give up sex. 5% would cut off all ties with their mother. I wouldn't do that. Hey, she probably gave you your body image issues in the first place. That's so cruel.
That is cruel.
22% of people are pretty sure their diet will be over by the end of the month. The toughest day of the week to stick to the diet? Anybody?
Mondays.
Saturday.
Saturday. That's treat day. Yeah.
Treat day. The number one reason people end a diet is because they get bored with it. And 8% of people have decided to lose weight because of a picture someone posted of them on social media.
Mm, so makes sense.
There you go.
If you if you stop drinking, you will lose that 15 pounds.
Yeah, you will lose the 15 pounds.
Actually, you lose more than that.
I didn't drink for a year, and I'm not sure just how much it affected my weight. It might have even been...
On to your other addiction, which is food.
That's right.
I think that, I'm not sure. If I was eating the way I eat now and I cut out booze and I don't drink.
I'll give
much,
you a new. When I didn't drink for the 4 months.
Right.
Because of my stomach issues.
Right.
I lost 20 pounds.
Yeah, but it also had to do probably with your stomach issues.
Yeah, you weren't eating as much, right?
I know. I was eating everything. I couldn't drink.
Hmm.
I do tell you that the one thing about alcohol and eating for me is lack of inhibition. Number one.
That's
you
huge.
You go out and you have yourself a night. The next day, that's the most willpower that I have to exercise because I don't know what it is. Maybe it's sugar.
Alcohol metabolizes to sugar and you crave more sugar.
And now a little something. A guy in Portland, Oregon went into a pet store on Friday afternoon and stole a 2-foot-long ball python.
Oh, pony.
How did he steal it?
Hang up.
He shoved it down his pants.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
You want to know the kind of snake it was? It was a ball python.
I get it.
It's not venomous. They get their name because their main defense when they're threatened is to curl into a ball and not bite.
Okay.
The woman who owns the pet shop says, quote, he's lucky it wasn't feeding day. Feeding days are on Mondays, and they're very hungry. Ball pythons eat small animals like mice, so if this guy's timing had been a little worse, you know.
Yeah.
The snake was selling for $200. The surveillance cameras got a great shot of the guy putting it down his pants.
Am I right, ladies?
But he was wearing a hat, so they didn't get a good look at his face, and the cops are still trying to track the guy down. Sounds like the guy's got balls.
Oh.
But not if the snake was hungry. We'll take a break. Come back with the audio ball right here.
Tony and Gary.
Hey there, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Tony Perkins.
I'm Gary Stein, as always.
On this week's episode of the show, two legends, aside from Gary and I. Sugar Ray Leonard.
What do you mean, two?
One of the all-time boxing greats.
Yes.
And Pat Boone.
I forgot.
And you'll want to forget after you hear it. Be sure to check it out, TonyPerkinsShow.com. Subscribe on iTunes and download the brand new Tony Perkins Show app.
Buy our t-shirts.
The Tony Perkins Show.
Buy them.
Congratulations to the Tony Perkins Show. They are on the cover of iTunes.
Hey, cool.
Oh, they made it. They made it.
Sugar Ray Leonard interview really helped them out.
Dynamic stuff. Good stuff.
Good for them. Check it out if you haven't heard the Tony Perkins Show with Gary Stein. Really fantastic. And get some of the archives. Listen to the Ringo interview. They're a lot of fun. And Sugar Ray, iconic in Washington, iconic nationwide. If you like boxing, you want to check that out. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Great to be back for another year of TMOS fun and frolic. 2016 is going to be our best year yet, and you don't want to miss any of it, do you? Well, Do you?
Huh?
No.
Mm-mm. All right.
No.
Subscribe for a full year of bonus content. You get full access to all of the 2016 bonus content, audio and video. Plus, you get access to the entire anthology, and you save 25% ka-ching. Remember, this is a great way to support your favorite podcast and get extra uncensored TMOS in your life. None of those pesky interruptions when we have to edit out the bad words on our regular show.
Yeah.
They all just hang out there like sausages on the bonus content.
Well, that's what hang up on them.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Unless you hang up on the guest you booked a week
nice.
Ago.
Be nice to Pony.
It's all waiting for you at micromaroshow.com. Click the banner mark TMOS bonus packages. Don't be like a pony dummy. Go ahead and renew. The TNOS bonus package. It's what you want, and besides, you deserve it. Order it today. Without further ado, let's open up the audio vault for Tuesday, January 12, 2016. Rob Spiewak.
Our listeners are great, and if something goes on Facebook, a lot of times I see it before anyone else does because the people that spot it send it to me right away. I seldom get it 75 times, and that's what happened here. Do you remember Sweet Brown Mike? It was this lady.
Well, I woke up to go give me a cold pop.
Yep.
And then I thought somebody was...
Ain't no one got time for that? Well,
right.
There was a fire in Tulsa, Oklahoma. No one
do
was
hurt.
Do
you think... I saw this, too, on social media. Did you get any feeling that perhaps it was tweaked up
played up a little bit, and you know what? I wouldn't put it past the news people that were filming it to sort of push her in that direction.
Or perhaps she, you know, I mean, everybody gets social media that this lady was aware that, you know, this was a viral video. Everybody's, I got news for you. Everybody knows about viral videos
they
nowadays.
Do.
But make your own determination when you hear the lady and see what she sounds like.
No one was hurt. 100 people were displaced from their apartment due to a fire. Her name is Michelle Dobine. And here is her recap of this fire in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
My friend came to the door. She said, well, I was on the phone cooking me and my baby some breakfast. And she said, hey, something wrong. It's popping. I said, what? She said, yeah. I said, no. So the girl come downstairs. She come out her apartment with her baby with no shoes on. I said, oh, girl, it's cold outside. She said, something ain't right. I said, oh, man. She said, oh, man, the building is on fire. I said, no, what? I got my three kids and we bounced out. We ain't going to be in no fire. Not today.
Not today.
I just think she was tweaking it and
I
it wasn't
too.
As genuine as the other
I wish
one.
I had friends like that. That actually would actually be so animated to tell a story, right?
You know, you actually hang out with two pretty good storytellers every
day.
Nah,
not like that.
I don't know. I think we're pretty good.
Well, Oscar,
you both are really white.
Let me just tell you, you know what? I hope you get everything you wish for.
There you go.
All right, very good.
Mike, did you ever have any tricks to make your kids stop crying? I know Carrie used to sing the alphabet song to Julia, and that would calm her down.
Oh, that's sweet.
I do. I go for comedy. I go for... I do try the quick, and it works with Michael William. The quickest way to make him stop crying is for me to make him laugh.
Okay, you do like Who's on First, or like some,
I do
some Lenny Bruce stuff.
No, I do. I do my Donald Trump impression.
He loves it.
He loves it.
Well, this is obviously a baby of pop culture. This baby, and this is posted on our YouTube page if you want to see it. Cries until the baby hears the Darth Vader Imperial March. Not until the hook. And then it starts cooing. So try it. Never get it.
You know
right.
What that means? Yeah, I mean, I speak baby. That means the kid's going to grow up to be very evil.
Really? Oh,
yes.
No. Like Kylo Ren.
Yeah.
Watch
terrible.
Out. When you think about, you know, everyone today owns a smartphone, but I just don't think of Hank Williams Jr. owning a smartphone somehow.
Flip phone for old Hank.
Yeah, well, I thought maybe he'd be more of a rotary guy, but apparently HWJ owns a smartphone.
You? I can't believe you're going to have a phone. I said, I'm a high-tech hillbilly, baby. What's wrong with you? I use it all the time. I take pictures of Civil War bullets on it. I love it. Good for songwriters. You got to have it.
So get yourself the iPhone 6 Plus and take pictures of Civil War bullets.
Obama!
I wish I had friends like that.
Yeah, you know what?
There you go. Hey. You know what? That'll be it. Now, that's a cocktail party I'll fly into D.C. for.
Meanwhile, there's Pony who just wishes he had friends.
Come on.
Hey, you know what? Be nice. Be nice.
He was at a spaghetti party last night.
That's right. All the prostitutes.
I'm gonna go over to his condo sometime when he's talking to Glenda, and like right when the conversation starts, I'm gonna point at him and he'll hang up on her.
Yep. Hello? Hello? Honey? Honey? Mike, a lot of people say the contestants on The Bachelor aren't smart. I don't think that's true. This is Emily on last night's episode.
Ben is the greatest bachelor on the planet of history.
Oh, and keep in mind, that's the take they used. And good news, they're selling the Playboy Mansion, Oscar.
The world famous Playboy Mansion is for sale. Luckily, so is bleach.
That's your magic audio bump. Have a great Tuesday, everybody.
Still the best ones, I think. Seth Meyers wins the award for the one-liners. That's it. Another Mike O'Mara Show has come and gone. Be sure to join us again for more fun and more thrills at MikeO'MaraShow.com. Our thanks to Dominique Foxworth for coming on the show. Always fun to have him. Oscar, thanks for getting your buddy on the show with us. If you want to send anything to us, it's TMOS Box 2796, Leesburg, Virginia, 20177. And to get your message or birthday request into the mailbag, email rob@MikeO'MaraShow.com. We rely on your word of mouth. Tell a friend or family member about TMOS and make sure they get it too. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara pointing at you and inviting you to join us again for another episode of the Mike O'Mara Show.
So long.
Ciao, ciao.
One last thing. Please remember that MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon is the best way to shop for anything and everything. So, shop Amazon and get there through our website. Always open at MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon. Now, go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Oh, yeah.